And welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. I'm Clayton, joined by Merge. How are you doing, Merge?
Man, I'm doing good. It's been a kind of a whirlwind for the first two games, but, you know, basketball is back. At least the Lakers are back, and I'm happy about that.
Are we happy about that?
I'm happy with the Lakers, maybe not the rest of the NBA, but...
Yeah, true. Okay, we had planned on doing a whole bunch of other stuff. You know, we had talked about it on our last podcast with Raj.
Yeah.
But life happens. We're obviously busy. We do this out of fun. We don't do this for, you know, money. Anyways, let's go ahead and get into it. The Lakers are 1-1. In the very young 2023-2024 NBA season, there's a decent amount to talk about. As anyone that has listened to the podcast during the summer probably knows, I'm frustrated, but that's always me anyways. So that's not much change. And Merge is a lot more optimistic than I am, as usual. So, We got a whole bunch of things to talk about. Let's first off start, I think, with Darvin's rotations. You know what? No, I'm sorry. I'm going to change that. Starting five, because that's kind of where it all leads from. You have D'Lo, you have Austin, you have Taurean Prince, you have LeBron, and then AD. I think four of those five make a lot of sense. The one that stands out like a sore thumb to me is Taurean Prince. And this isn't even to say that he's been bad. I think he's been pretty good. I just don't like using him that much. And then it bleeds into a whole bunch of other things. Now, it does seem like Vando was the intended starter.
Yes.
So that's fine with me. But I don't like essentially like pigeonholing him, Prince, into that starting rotation afterwards. Especially, you look at game one in Denver. Denver throws out a lineup that has no one under 6'5", which is fine. The Lakers didn't either. But the problem is then it's Jamal Murray, who is a bit more athletic than D'Lo at this point, I think. He at least moves around faster. He doesn't slink around. Not even using like slink as a negative word, but just like D'Lo moves around, it seems more smoothly and gliding type, while Murray is visibly faster. Which, if you would have told me that like 4 or 5 years ago, I would have told you out of your mind, but whatever. And then they have KCP, but then it goes to Michael Porter Jr. at 6'10", Aaron Gordon at 6'9". And then Jokic at obviously 7 foot. Taurean Prince at 6'6" was guarding, which he's your supposed wing stopper. He's running around guarding Jamal Murray. And I don't necessarily hate the idea about it. The problem is the continued fucking use of Austin Reeves on Michael Porter Jr. I think Austin Reeves is a good defender, a very good defender. He is 5 inches shorter than Michael Porter Jr. And Michael Porter Jr. can elevate. He's a jump shooter. He's not a set shooter. So he gets elevation on his shots. And he's got a 7'1"-ish wingspan. So, like, probably a standing reach, probably well over 9 feet. You know, like, he's Michael Porter Jr. is long.
Yeah.
And strong and not down to get a vaccine on. But let's just imagine that. Like, a guy that is elevating on his jump shots is long against a guy who's 6'5". And Austin's not particularly long. He's not like six, like D'Lo, where D'Lo's 6'5 and has like a 6'9 wingspan. Austin's probably 6'5 with like a 6'5, 6'6 wingspan. He's probably barely a plus. Maybe he might be a slight more than that, maybe a plus two if Merge is looking that up. But those don't make
sense. 6'6¼".
Yeah, so just slightly a plus. So plus 1¼.
Which is hilarious. Why you love him, how you love him so much when he has like T-Rex arms essentially.
Yeah, I mean, but like I love Austin, but it's because he brings a skill to the game.
Oh yeah, no, that, I know. Just yeah. You're like prototype.
Oh yeah,
this is the guy I like, sort of thing. You like Reeves like off rep. It wasn't like you had to learn to like Reeves too.
I know. It's just sometimes when you like a guy, you just like the guy. Yeah. But you know, like that doesn't make a lot of sense when you have Torian Prince who's 6'7". They have him at 6'6" on like NBA.com. He is closer to 6'7", 6'8". He's visibly taller than Austin. And
he has a 7-foot wingspan.
Yeah. That is the guy you're putting on Michael Porter Jr. And I do get it because like Torian can run around and defend guys and whatnot. And I think that's fine. But the problem is like it's just that size difference is too much. And luckily MPJ wasn't abominable Reeves wasn't abominable against MPJ, mm-hmm. but then like guys were just leaving him open and thank God he shot like garbage. I think he was only like 5 for 12 and like 3 for 8 from three. But just that continued lineup shows that Darvin did not look during the summer and think, oh, how can I fix that? You know, like that lineup, you essentially did the same thing that you did during the Western Conference Finals and you got butt fucked the entire time.
If that was like Vando, and obviously like we were saying, Vando was probably gonna start. It's unfortunate with the injury, but like I understand Vando defending Jamal Murray. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
Because he is a lot better running like off screen, at least like with like pick and roll kind of ball screens.
Yeah.
Compared to Torian. But like I don't know. Like it shouldn't be Austin. Like again, I think I said this before we went on. If it's gonna be him or D'Lo, have it be D'Lo. Because I think D'Lo is better on Austin's been good against off ball shooters, but like Klay Thompson.
I also think that like you don't want D'Lo like because D'Lo I think was defending KCP if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. So like both KCP and MPJ are running around, you know, kind of like a Warriors-esque, like floating around type of shit, you know, and that's fine. You know, like Austin, I think could defend Jamal Murray for the most part. Cause Jamal Murray is not a super athlete. He can.
No, he is just a shot maker. That's the main thing.
He's a shot maker, you know? And like, if he makes shots on guys, he's going to make shots on guys. Like I think
he's done it to a lot of people. I mean, saw it in the
noted Jamal Murray hater of that draft. And I will say I was wrong. Mm-hmm. He's been so good and I cannot deny it. But just like he's going to make shots, you know? So like if you're not going to have Torian on him, then you need to figure something else with your lineup. That just didn't make a lot of sense. Mm-mm. That I think just like I don't know how many times in the chat I said that night of, oh my God, MPJ is wide open. or like, why do we have Austin on MPJ? Like the size difference.
You just can't give Jokic that like upper hand, you know?
I mean, because like MPJ, as I said before we started recording, MPJ is essentially a slightly taller Klay Thompson at this point. He's not handling the ball a lot. He's catching the ball and he's shooting. That's what he's doing. He's putting it up. And so you need someone that is longer and whatnot. That is why I think like a D'Lo would be fine on him, just because how he has a 6'9 wingspan, you know? So like I think that would be fine. But I don't know. And going towards like I've had to hear it like all year with like watching the Chiefs of you saying you know better than the head coach. Well, apparently, yes, at this point. I think most people would understand that is stupid. Whatever they're doing with Denver is stupid. They've now lost. I think they lost pretty much all. Yeah. Five games in a row. And then like last season, they were torched as well. And I think a couple.
The funny thing is, I think the Lakers won the season series against them. And the funnier thing is they didn't play them at all after the Russ trade. They beat him twice with Russ, which is hilarious. Yeah,
which is amazing.
Man, broken clock, I guess. but just I don't know. That I think that's where I'm at. I don't. Taurean for me is a fine player. Mm-hmm. He played way too many minutes that Denver game, and then he played a lot less against Phoenix, thankfully. Mm-hmm. But he played damn near 30 minutes against Denver. That was stupid. I honestly, all of the new incomers have played too many minutes.
Mm-hmm. Except for Christian Wood. I think Christian Wood played the right amount. We'll talk about Christian Wood in a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's fine. We'll get into Christian Wood in a little bit. But that was, I think, my concern with both of the exception guys, the biannual and the mid-level. I was worried how they would be used, and it's kind of coming to fruition on it. But as for rest of the starting five, I think it makes the most sense. If he's gonna be reevaluated, I think they said two weeks.
Yeah.
Ruby needs to be in there. It's for teams that are that big. You know?
Yeah, so we play the Kings tomorrow. I think Prince is fine against the Kings, because he'd be on what, like Harrison Barnes or who's their starting five? Because Monk doesn't start. It's Fox. No,
I think it's Sabonis. Keegan Murray, which is, he's 6'8", 6'9", which is fine. And then Harrison Barnes, as you said, who's 6'9". And then, man, who are we missing?
Oh, it's Kevin Herter.
Oh, Herter's starting? Oh, man.
Yeah, he started all last year. Monk comes off the bench.
Yeah. That lineup is fine. I think you have to be more open to changing some things, you know? And it just seems like that was what he decided was going to happen before the game, and he didn't correct.
Right.
You needed bigger guys, and Rui in game one played what, like 5 minutes?
Something like that. Yeah. I think he only played like 12 in this game. Last game.
Which why are you paying the guy that you paid $17 million $17 million a year to over the course of 4 years, or was it three? I think it was three. Yeah, it was $351 million. Why are you playing him this amount that you should be playing your biannual exception guy at? Why are we doing that? That doesn't make any sense.
The only explanation to me has to be what we've, like, Darvin trying to keep everyone kind of warm, so to speak, and trying to make sure, and it's hard to even compare to last season, because
I guess with Gabe that would make some sense, and we'll get to my issues with Gabe Vincent later. Taurean Prince has only ever been a role player. I think his first 2 years when he was with, I think it was Atlanta, thought he could do something, and then they realized, oh yeah, no, he's not a 30 minutes per minute guy, and they quickly dropped him down to like 21, 22, 23. That is what Taurean Prince is.
Yeah.
And on a team that is deep at wings, like, I would rather see Max Christie playing more. And by the way, what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why is he not playing?
I feel like if Cam Reddish doesn't get hurt in the preseason, I think Max outright wins the job. I think the fact that Cam got hurt, he only played, I think, two preseason games or like two and a half preseason games. They thought, okay, we still need to see more out of him.
Yeah. I don't even think Cam's been bad. I think Cam's been good. His shooting hasn't been great.
Bad. Yeah.
But like,
defense,
like
good.
The defense has been really good. Like, I as a Cam Reddish fan, that is so good to see, because that was a huge question mark.
Yeah.
But
I know KD had 39 in that game, but that's just KD making tough shots over people.
Yeah, that wasn't even necessarily like Christian Wood was defending him so much better. Like, Christian Wood, don't get me wrong, and again, we'll get to Christian Wood in a little bit. Christian Wood was good. But it was just that Cam has good size and length as well. It was just that KD was making shots.
And Cam was being left on an island more than Wood was.
Yeah. Like, that's stupid. That is very stupid. But anyways, so then I guess we're kind of talking rotations, but let's kind of break away from just the true starting five to more of that though. Of, you know, like when LeBron comes out quick and early, they did it a lot last year, pretty much every game last year as well. He comes out usually around like the 7 minute mark. So we're still 7 minutes left in the first. And that's fine. But then it's sometimes a question of who they bring in. Again, depending on the situation, not angry at that. But it quickly devolves into like not what we had been talking about in chats or with Raj or, you know, like, okay, Austin is going to step up. Okay, D'Lo is going to step up, which, by the way, I know you want to talk more about D'Lo later. D'Lo's been fine. His shooting hasn't been there. It'll come. Like, calm the fuck down, Twitter or X, whatever the hell you want to call it now. Calm down. He's been fine. The shot will come. We know this. Like, it's not even like the playoffs, so it's not like we're going to be concerned about that. He's been fine over the course of all the seasons that he's played. Defensively, D'Lo's looked good. Yeah. But, like, Austin hasn't been able to get as many shots as we wanted. Like, he has, in two games, he has 18 shots. That is the same amount as Gabe Vincent. He's played 2 minutes more than Gabe Vincent in those two games. Why? Why has he only played 2 minutes more than Gabe Vincent? This is I guess, my time to start bashing on Darvin Ham and his affinity for Gabe Vincent. Why the fuck did he play 22 minutes against Denver when he was not good? And then why did he play 35 minutes against Phoenix when he again wasn't good? He was 3-for-8 the first game, 3-for-10 the second game. He's 6-for-18 overall.
He's yet to make a three, I think.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. There were times where when I was watching, I was like, Gabe Vincent has tunnel vision. He's going to go for a layup right here, and he did. And one time he made the shot, the layup, and I was like, okay, cool. Maybe that'll get him going.
It was that attempted reverse layup against KD that really threw me.
This is why I was not happy about the signing. Gabe Vincent, people are like, he has that dog in him. He has a chihuahua in him. Like, dude isn't that. He isn't that guy. Like, he's not that guy. He's been fine defensively, I guess.
And I think a good amount of that too is on Darvin, because he's putting him in incorrect spots and not deploying him correctly.
Yeah, you were talking about how, like, you said, I think, two or three times in a row, Gabe Vincent still in. Why are we playing him? It seems like 17 minutes straight. I don't even know if we did actually play him 17 minutes.
He did not in the first half.
Yeah, well, in the first half, I think he played damn near a 17 minute stretch as well, or it was like 10 or 11, then out for a minute or two, and then back in for another 6 or 7. He is playing too much. He is not your workhorse back. Your workhorse back. Like, he is your change of pace guy. He is not going to be what he was in the playoffs all the time. He never has been. I don't know why everyone was like, oh, did you see him in the playoffs? That's what he's going to be all the time. No, it's not, because he's never been that guy. Chill out on supposed insane playoff runs. He had two good series out of four. I talked the numbers when he signed, and it just gets swept under the rug because the Lakers signed him. And again, it's not all on Gabe.
Oh yeah, no. And I think it's way more Darvin than it is Gabe at this point.
I think I'll say the minutes playing, sure, but his like tunnel vision is all on Gabe. There's no reason why he should be doing what he's been doing. There are times where guys have been wide open and he's just like, nah, fuck it. The hoop's down there somewhere. Kobe, you know, type of thing.
Yeah. And that's fair. Yeah. But I think it also has a lot to do with, like, I talked about it before we went on. I talked about it in the DMs. I just think Austin and D'Lo's sub patterns need to swap.
Yeah.
So what Austin Arm comes out around what, like the 3 minute mark? Does that sound about right?
I think so.
So he comes out around the 3 minute mark. D'Lo comes out around the same time LeBron does, I want to say. Maybe a minute or two after.
Yeah, usually around the like the 5 minute mark.
Yeah. And then he comes back, then he comes like, back in like a little bit after like D'Lo.
Which is always hysterical.
Yeah. So I just feel like the fit with Reeves and Vincent is just smoother than it is with D'Lo and Vincent. Because I think D'Lo and Vincent both want to shoot the ball more. And obviously D'Lo's been a very good passer and he's been good on that end. But Reeves has more of a passing mentality than D'Lo has, I feel. And I just think that fits better with Gabe and like a LeBron and Christian Wood and Rui. Like, I just think that makes more sense. So yeah. We'll see. This might be a better matchup for Gabe against the Kings, because unless they put like Davion Mitchell or something on him, which I don't think he really plays that much to begin with. But yeah, we'll see with that. They need to deploy him better. That's the main thing.
And he needs to stop chucking.
And he needs to, yeah. He's. I don't think he's made a three. I'd be shocked if he has that. He's like shooting 30 footers, like a lot of 30 footers.
Yeah, I like, dude. You are not that shooter. It just cracks me up. And I know that in the chat, like, I've already been labeled as like the Gabe Vincent hater, and you know, whatever, that's fine.
And Gabe's gonna have Gabe, he's gonna have games. He will. I mean, he's not gonna always be that playoff player, but he's gonna have a handful of games where he looks like that guy. You know, that's just the nature of a player like him.
He is 0 for 9,
and I think he was like 0 for 6 in that Suns game. I want to say a lot of them were wide open too.
Yeah, wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, so this guy used him better, and I think the main reason he's played as much too is he somehow just ends up on these lineups that end up having like heaters, and it's mainly because of LeBron starting to attack, or AD is finally starting to attack, something like that. And Darvin thinks, okay, we can't let's keep pushing this lineup because this is the lineup that's made the run, but it's been rarely because of Gabe, in my opinion.
Excuse me. Yeah, you had posted the thread on the Under the Bus Pod Twitter, which I'm trying to find because, of course, it decided to kick me off. Of Gabe Vincent has the fifth best plus minus, which is hysterically -5.
Yeah.
With LeBron and, of all people, Christian Wood being the top guys, Christian Wood is a +34 net rating, which is hysterical, because I didn't think he was very good against Denver.
No, it was a thing similar to like Vincent, where he was in, and I think it just like let AD do a little more with Wood in there, and
yeah,
so, and that's why the run sort of started.
Oh, I will say, man, can't stop yawning or whatever. I will say that Christian Wood against Phoenix was good. I will say that. I think against Denver, he wasn't great. I was pulling my hair out plenty of times during then. But overall, he's good. D'Lo, for the smack talk that, of course, Lakers Twitter likes to put down already, is your third best player, according to plus minus, at 0.4 or 4.8. Which, I mean, obviously, AD, I think, has overall been the Lakers' best player.
Mm-hmm.
He's
been the Lakers' best player for game and a half. Let's just say that.
A game and a half, because God, let's go ahead. You know what? Let's talk AD.
Yeah,
he's not even on the list. Let's talk AD though.
We'll talk
about that first half against Denver, he scored 17. I pushed back a little bit because there was a point where I think he had the 17 points and he had like one rebound and one block or assist or something like that. It was scoring, but it wasn't doing really much of anything else. But overall, I would say by the end of the half, I think he had upped it and everything, and he looked better. And then he went dog shit in the second half. God, like, what in the world, dude? We were talking before we started recording about how he is a guy that is continuously dogged more than like any other superstar for some reason. Like,
yes.
Like this type of game happens. Like, for example, the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Sixers game. Joel Embiid was god awful.
He was so bad in that second half.
That second half was atrocious.
Yeah,
that second half was well worse than AD's second half against Denver,
because he was because Maxey and Oubre were, and Tobias Harris too, they were scoring for that Sixers team, and then you know you go down, they're up one or whatever.
He did have, I think, like a 7-0 run by himself, but it was over the course of a minute and a half, and then he went right back to dog shit
because he kept shooting those mid range jumpers. I don't understand those mid range jumpers that he takes.
Yeah,
because we see those runs that he does, and he's the murdering dude down low.
Yeah,
and then he's blocking a Giannis dunk. Like, yeah,
he thinks he's a shooter, and he's not. The dude had his rookie year where he was able to stretch the floor for, you know, a couple games, and then all of a sudden he thought he could shoot. The dude can't shoot. He's a down low post guy, and he's insanely good at it. But like, the thing is he doesn't want to.
You know what's funny? He made 3 of 7 of his threes in that Bucks game too. That's hilarious.
Which is, yeah, but that was definitely not in the second half.
It was not in the second half.
If it was in the second half, I don't even know, because I remember one time he pulled up on the right wing, no one was around him.
Oh man,
no one.
And it was the opposite of a rhythm jumper. Whatever the opposite of a rhythm jumper is, he shot it.
He strolled up. He could have lit a cigarette and chain smoked right there at the 3-point line, and no one was going to come out to him. And of course, it clanked off the back of the rim. But like, he of course isn't dogged for his performance, or James Harden, who has not played yet. I don't think. Like. No. He's still pouting, and the 76ers think that they're going to get a haul for him. I don't really think so at this point, because
please, Clippers, trade for James Harden. I am begging you. Oh, I need God, that it, in my life.
It would be hysterical, and Clippers fans would be like, "Oh, we now have look at this lineup. Oh yep. Yeah, Russ, you got James Harden. You got
Paul George.
Oh my God, bring it to me." That'll be a seventh seed, and they'll bail in the play-in game. So, like, just whatever. But, like, we don't hear that for James Harden a lot.
I think we do, but it's not from
NBA Twitter, though. It's more of, like, sometimes the talking heads. But even then, they just don't.
Harden 100% gets somewhat dogged, but... It's nowhere near to AD.
Yeah, I would say his dogness, though, is because he's a fat piece of shit.
Yeah, because he's just a bad person who's just shitty at all this stuff. So, like, it's easy to dunk on him because he's just a shitty dude. But, like, he doesn't get the basketball, as much basketball hate as AD. I want to preface that, because he does get hate. I see the hate.
Oh, yeah.
It's nowhere near to AD. Nowhere near it.
Yeah, yeah. It is amazing to me. But back to AD, he was dog shit in that second half. And then Phoenix overall, he was pretty good. There are a few times where I was just flabbergasted. AD should never be physically stopped by Drew Ebanks.
Yeah, never. It's weird with AD sometimes. And I feel like it's more so just like the way he approaches down low sometimes, that he just like doesn't get his full strength behind him when he's trying to go around people.
Yeah. He had that one up and under that I still don't even know how his body did it.
Yeah.
Against Nurkic, I think it was. And I was like, wait, how did he move through that?
Yeah.
Like that, it looked like he just like phased through him, you know, like just Star Trek, Star Wars, whatever, just passed through him, and all of a sudden he's on the other side dunking it. I was like, How did he do that? Like, it was just, but like, yeah. And then other times he's like, oh, Drew Ebanks in front of me. Oh, no, I can't do this. Oh, like, what are you, like, dude, come on.
I will say one thing that's on the optimistic side about him. He has made a three-pointer in every game he's played, including preseason, is huge.
Yeah. Yep.
I think he's only shot like two a game in the games he shot him, but like if he's making that one, like
the Suns gave him space on the one that he missed, and then he came back later and made another one. So like,
and it was like above the break transition. And I think that's where he set plays for like a corner three. I think that's where that's like should be his bread and butter for that. He's been fine on his mid range jumpers so far. Nothing horrible, but he's been okay. I don't think he's shot that many, to be honest. A lot of like you see the moments like in the Nuggets game where he can go at Jokic every time. Mm-hmm. He should be going at Jokic every time. Mm-hmm. You know, don't get me wrong. Jokic is obviously best player in the league. I don't think that's really a debate at this point. And he's a better defender than people give him credit for. But AD can do that every play down because AD talent-wise is a top five player.
Yeah.
So yeah, he just needs I don't know what it is.
I don't know. It's a mentality. I think that's the only thing that I can come up with is that it's a mentality thing with him. And I don't like being a armchair psychologist. I don't like doing that, but that's a lot of times what it feels like, you know. It just he will disappear. It just doesn't make any sense. That is so like another example of like a superstar of like Dame. Mm-hmm. Dame doesn't disappear. Mm-hmm. I don't even like Dame. Like I think Dame might be the superstar that I talk the most crap about. I find his wannabe tough guy mentality really annoying because
and the whole run for the grind thing is
Just,
no one's gonna think less of you for wanting to lead the Portland Trailblazers,
not anymore. They don't care. But like to give him credit, like that dude does not disappear. And I understand he has the ball in his hands a lot, you know.
Or, and different player, different play style, obviously.
And all that. I get that. AD needs to be fucking demanding the ball. I don't give a shit if he has to start like pushing his own teammates. Like, I am sorry, Gabe Vincent. You don't need to go 3-for-10 when you have a 6'11", 7-foot dude with a 7'7" wingspan down low. Give AD the ball. Who is
maybe the most unique athlete. And like in the NBA currently, like one of the most
it's just stupid. Like that I think is where I get of that he disappears and then he doesn't end up grabbing rebounds and whatnot. He's had a good amount of rebounds the first two games. I think it's like 12 or 13 in both games.
He definitely had 13 against the Suns. I remember
it's 12. I just looked it up.
Oh, 12. Okay.
But you know, it's just you're. You should be grabbing more, you know. Like
he has the ability to get almost 20 a game.
Yeah,
you know, like I don't know.
And there's
stretches where he looked like the best player in the world. There really is stretches that he looks like the best player in the NBA.
That Warriors series last year,
the Grizzlies series.
Both of those series, it looked like he was honestly the unquestioned best player playing in the entire league at that point.
Yeah.
That was it. I mean, I understand like Jokic and all of that. They like the Nuggets had to go, I think, six games to the Suns, you know? Like I think he just needs to realize like I am that dude athletically and physically and all that. Let me just do it. And just a lot of the times he's more than happy to step back. And like,
that confidence on defense too. He has that confidence on defense.
Yeah, he does. So like, I know like LeBron is there, you know, but LeBron is 38, 39, whatever. Like he's old. We're already having to start talking about like a weird minutes restriction that they're talking about with him. Yeah. And then, of course, the next day they break it. You know, we're only going to play him 28 to 30 minutes, 35 minutes. Like, that doesn't make a lot of sense, but okay.
And again, that's fine. Because if you remember back to when LeBron was, like, pushing for the scoring record, he was playing, like, almost 40 minutes a night.
Oh, yeah.
When Lakers, like, 35 minutes is fine for LeBron.
Yeah. Hell, playable you 32 for all I care.
You can play him, like, but it's like, it shouldn't be a thing where, like, oh, we want to play him 30 minutes, and then, like, everyone's like,
you don't need to say that, you know. And if that's the case, then LeBron needs to go hard for those 30 minutes. There are too many times where, like, I can't even remember which, if it was Denver or Phoenix in the first half, where I was just like, defense would be nice, LeBron. The dude is right there, and you're just olaying him.
I think the main thing is LeBron doesn't want that minute restriction, and he's playing like he normally would in his normal minutes, and he's just like, essentially, like, if you're going to play him this much, you're going to get 30 minutes, what 30 minutes of LeBron normally looks like.
Excuse me. Damn, man. I understand, like, there needs to be chemistry and everything, and of course, like, you have our buddy Parks, who was talking about how, like, you know, Austin should have played more, LeBron should have played more and whatnot in the preseason. I think that's more of a camp thing, personally, than game.
Playing 12 more minutes in fucking Las Vegas isn't going to do shit. Like,
No, exactly. I totally agree. But, you know, like, why, if we want chemistry, why are we playing Gabe Vincent 35 minutes and Rui not playing very much? Rui was with LeBron on multiple trips.
Yeah.
Not even just talking about, like, they played, you know, or practiced, like, every day together, whatever. They went on trips together. Like, Rui was the annoying little brother who wouldn't leave the big brother alone, you know? And not even to, like, use that in a negative context. Like, that is what we wanted. And Darvin's like, you know what? We just paid you $351. I'm gonna give this little midget over here more time. Like, I don't get it. Or I'm gonna give you the biannual guy more time. It just doesn't make any sense. It goes back to a lot of it, Darvin's rotations and stuff. Like, it's just so much of it. It just doesn't make sense. Going into Austin. Austin should be playing probably 32 plus minutes a game. And again,
30 should be a minimum. 30 should be a minimum.
Yeah, 30 should be a minimum. He's not even averaging that yet. It's 29 and a half, which, I mean, if you round up, blah, 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 but whatever. He should be playing more. He should be handling the ball more. He should be getting more shots. He has the same amount of shots as Gabe Vincent.
Yep. And he's by far our best shooter. Like, without a doubt, he's our best shooter.
Yeah. Like, it's just, He is your third scorer, your fourth scorer. Gabe Vincent is your fifth or sixth scorer, or should be. You know,
there needs to be more plays run for Austin. Like, if he's not gonna handle the ball, they need to run him off screens or something. They need to get him a side pick and roll with AD. Like, that AD connection with Reeves is really good. Yeah, I know he missed one pass. Lakers Twitter, God. I know he missed one pass.
Oh, God.
But if you've seen most games, Austin and AD, they have very good chemistry in the pick and roll. Run more of that. You know what's insane? How did the Lakers win that game against the Suns? Oh, they spammed four straight LeBron and AD pick and rolls down the stretch. And guess what? LeBron made three easy layups. Three.
That play forever will be the bane of my existence. Not because it doesn't work. It's because it literally would work every
single time.
Play. There's no way to stop a LeBron AD pick and roll consistently.
Yes.
You cannot tell me. Like, you could put, like, Draymond and since NBA Twitter loves him, D'Anthony Melton, but, you know, a supposed elite guard defender. I'm
Caruso.
There we go. Perfect. Even better. He is an actual elite defender as a guard. Caruso and Draymond with against that pick and roll. And I understand AD's taller than Draymond, but Draymond is
okay. Well, smart. Giannis and put Giannis and Drew Holiday there.
Yeah. Yep. Even better. You're not stopping it. Like, you're just not consistently, you know, like, they'll get it maybe 2 out of 10 times, but, like, consistently.
A side note on that, the Suns need to figure out that Nurkic thing, because, ooh, man, LeBron every time down was going for him, and he went right through him every time. In the pick and roll, it was bad. And yeah, they didn't have Booker and Beal, but Booker and Beal aren't stopping a pick and roll. And again, Frank Vogel's offense down the stretch. I think the Suns had 7 turnovers in that fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. And we can transition this into Christian Wood. But man, this is why Frank Vogel isn't the right coach for this type of team.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't even know if, like, what they should have done is they should have gone full send, let's just go straight offense of let's try and score 140 points a game type of thing.
Yeah. And they have, like, Kevin Young, who's the assistant coach there, and he's the offensive guy there. But, I mean...
But, like, dude. I didn't really like the fit. Uh-uh. Excuse me. I think Vogel could be a championship-winning coach again somewhere else in the right fit.
Vogel makes a lot more sense in, like, Milwaukee.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because he has Dame just to bail him out in terms of offense.
Oh, that would make
a lot more sense.
Honest, yeah. Honest to it.
And
like, I mean, and like, obviously Beal, Booker, and KD can do that, but then like you have just better chances of defense up in Milwaukee. Yeah, no, I agree with that. But yeah, let's just go ahead and go to like Christian Wood. And I'm gonna throw Cam into that as well. Mm-hmm. Sure. I think Cam has been really good defensively.
Yes.
Really, really good defensively. Our buddy Raj, I think, talked about it on Twitter, and you know, I'm not ever going to refer it to anything as Twitter. I don't care. No. He talked about it on Twitter, and yeah, no, there. The other account, Laker LA Bound or whatever, I can't remember. It is. He talked about it. He talked about how Cam was good on defense, and I agree. I think Cam has been really good on defense. I don't think. The issues with KD, I think I already said this, were Cam playing bad defense. It was just KD was making shots, and that's going to happen. And he's Kevin Durant. So I'm fine with playing Cam. My problem is like he's shooting like garbage, which historically, unfortunately, that's what's happened. Mm-hmm. Why has Max Christie, the guy that we were told was going to be the backup to, not playing?
Yeah, and like I said earlier, I feel like it's a thing where, like, oh, we have to see what Cam is going to give us.
Yeah, and like, that's fine. You know, like, I get that. But then, like, when you're kind of also doing the same thing, well, what is Gabe Vincent going to give us? What is Taurean Prince going to give us? What is Christian Wood going to give us?
Jackson Hayes, yeah.
Jackson Hayes has only played, like, 12 minutes. So like,
I know, but, like... It's like that. The same situation for all.
Yeah, what are they going to give us? And like, if that's truly the plan, that's fine. But Max Christie should be getting minutes. You know, like
at least give him a rotation to like prove that he can do something.
Yeah, I don't want to like if they're trying to honestly prevent like an Austin situation of you know a
he balls out and they have to pay him a bunch of money.
Yeah. I mean, like I could see something like that. You know, if they want to try and prevent something like that, it sucks ass. But like I theoretically, I get it.
Man, I wish we drafted Max one year later.
Man,
because Max Lewis has that 4-year contract. You know.
Oh God, yeah. Like I just oh my gosh, it pisses me off so much, Palinka. You. Dumbass. But whatever. You know, like Max needs to play. He showed in summer league what he is capable of. And even if Max turns into I'm gonna use a former Laker great, Josh Hart, as an example. Josh Hart in summer league was playing how Max Christie did this year.
Yeah.
They both were showing that they could pull up off the dribble, they could handle the ball, they could create for others and all this during summer league. And Josh Hart just got paid what, $80 million on top of the extension that he had before. Like, so he's a really good player. If Max becomes Josh Hart, holy shit, you lucked out so much. But the problem is you're not even trying.
Yeah.
Like you have to play him. And
just take 6 minutes off of Gabe Vincent's 35, play him one rotation.
No, I'm not even going to say just 6 minutes.
No, you need, I'm just saying give him a shot. That's
yeah,
all I'm
no,
saying.
I agree. Gabe Vincent should, I'm gonna say this. Gabe Vincent should never play over more than 24 minutes a game. Never. Unless he is just on a heater, you know? But like, other than that, no, I'm having a quick trigger with him. If he misses his first 2 or 3 shots, you're done till next rotation. Like, because otherwise, I don't think he provides that much. Like, his defense isn't amazing. I kept being told like his defense was really good. It's not better than Schroeder's. Like, it's not. It's just straight up.
And Max better. Just has the size and more size and strength.
Yeah, especially since Gabe is being viewed at as a backup. Like,
essentially he is, because the point guards are LeBron, D'Lo, and Austin.
Yeah, like, so, like, hello.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Max not getting any time, and I get it. Like, this team has championship aspirations and whatnot.
We just saw Christian Brown help the Nuggets win a championship.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
He's a rookie.
The whole mentality that only veterans win you stuff is just stupid. It's
Alex Caruso was arguably our third best player in that championship run.
Yep. An undrafted guy that we had at that point, I think, on for $5 million that year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it's been a disservice by Darvin. I don't want to just bag on Darvin, but so many of the issues that I've had so far this year have been Darvin. Ruby not playing, Max not playing, Austin not getting the role he needs, Torian playing too much, Gabe Vincent playing way too much. Like, I don't know what's going on with Darvin. And if it comes back to like Darvin just needs to experiment, and like it's the early part of the year, we're obviously not last year's team where we had no depth until we as fans. I hate that I've been doing that this podcast. I always try and just do team stuff. But you know, like if you want to do it that way, you know, that's fine. You can experiment, because this team is so much better than it was at the beginning of last year. You won't have to dig yourself out of such a god awful hole.
Yeah.
You know? If that's what it is, then by December, like in there, a 3-4 seed, and you know, everything looks running smoothly. Some guys have had minutes drawn back, some guys have had minutes increased, you know, that's great. I hope that's what's going to happen. But otherwise, at this point, like, you're not playing guys that should be played. You're playing guys that shouldn't be played too much. You know, like, to even go into like Jackson Hayes, which we've minorly talked about him. I said before the podcast, and I was talking into a DM with a couple buddies. He's been wild.
Yeah.
I will say that he has been wild. He does need to calm down. I think the problem is that Jackson Hayes is trying to make an impact and show his value in the minutes that, in not even half the minutes that I thought he would be getting. I thought he'd be the backup big. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, back in summer league, I said Jackson Hayes as our backup big, and then giving Colin Castleton the third big stuff. And we ended up getting, you know, as a fan base, having the Lakers sign Christian Wood, and he's been good so far.
Yeah, so far.
I want to continue to preface that, so far.
Yes.
Because he does that, and then all of a sudden it's just like, oh my god, he's awful. But like, I want to see more Jackson Hayes. If you're going to experiment with other guys, I think you need to experiment with him as well. You know, and maybe it was just because it's Denver, really good team, Phoenix, potentially a really good team. Mm-hmm. So you want to throw out guys that you think are better, which I guess for Denver, you just need the offense or whatever. And then what, I don't know. But I think Hayes needs more minutes. He is very clearly a phenomenal athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his ability to move it at his size is just stupid.
And he's a lot smarter than I think people give him credit for in terms of basketball IQ.
Yeah. There was one where he tried to go for a block, and he, instead of going straight up, he went straight into, was it Goodwin? I feel like, I can't remember exactly who it was off the top of my head, And that was wild. He should have just gone straight up. He has the length and everything. He would have been fine. Mm-hmm. But I do think that he's also trying to overcompensate to be like when Christian Wood looks his best is when AD is on the floor.
Yeah.
Because he can be a more of an ancillary defensive piece, which he's been really good at. I want to keep saying that because I was super critical of Christian Wood being signed and still kind of am. But I want to give him his props. He's been really good. Yeah. But I think I worry that Jackson Hayes in his head feels like he has to be that he has to be essentially AD on the on the second lineup. And he's not. He's got a ton of defensive potential. You can see it. But like he just needs to calm down.
he's also yet to be on the court with AD too. Which yeah. I mean, yeah. we've seen that combination work in terms of athletic big next to AD with JaVale, and we've been making a lot of JaVale comparisons with Hayes. Let's just like give him a 5-minute stretch with AD and put like Austin and D'Lo and another good shooter out there,
Yeah, I think Darvin needs to get away from his relationship with Christian Wood and try Jackson Hayes more. Because I think that potential defensive pairing of Jackson Hayes and AD is just a fantasy. Like, that is the potential there. Because, like I don't think Hayes is as alleged glue eating as our buddy Nas and Alan like to always go about allegedly. But you know, I think that Hayes has a good IQ. It's just also he's coming from New Orleans where they were having him play small forward at times.
Like
he's got it,
and they had him next to like Valanciunas and not Zion, you know. And I know Zion availability, whatever, but still, even when Zion is out there,
I think he's trying to find his role and he's trying to make splash plays. And I think he just needs to calm down. I hope he calms down because I still have high hopes for Jackson Hayes. I think that could be your potential center tandem for several years if things go the way that I think they can go. We'll see though.
And I just want to preface too, because we're giving a lot of Jackson Hayes love here. Hayes Wood has been really good. And
yes,
I'm trying
to continue to say that. Yes.
And we're not calling for Wood to not play anymore. If he's playing like he's shown, he's a very important piece to this roster. Very important.
Yeah. I think what you need to do is you need to play them both a shift.
I don't. I don't like playing Hayes and Wood together. Just in general,
I don't necessarily like it either. But like, I think I think they both need about 12 minutes a game.
Yeah,
you know, and or not maybe not. Yeah, let's say 8 to 12 minutes a game, and then you see who's playing better. You know, and right now it probably should be Christian Wood.
100%.
You know, but like I don't think Christian Wood was very good against Denver. He was better against Phoenix. I would have much rather have seen Jackson Hayes play more than I think the 6 minutes he got against Denver. But Darvin Ham has a relationship with Christian Wood, so he's going to give him the time. And I think this is, again, I don't even like bashing on Darvin, but God, like, stop it. Like, stop making me dislike you so much right now, man.
So far, I'm trying to look at the minutes right now, how much they've played combined. So it looks like Christian Wood has played 18 and a half minutes so far per game, and Jackson Hayes has played 6.5. So let's just call it 25 minutes combined.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just need to, and all of Hayes' minutes have been with Christian Wood.
Yeah, I want Hayes to be the big and the four to be Ruby. I want to see that, you know, and then
we'll have LeBron.
Or if you're still just going to go all backups, say, or like have Austin in there, you know, Austin at the one, Max at the two, Reddish at the three, you know,
Rui,
and then
Jackson Hayes. Yeah.
Like, then you have a couple guys that are defenders and Reddish and Hayes that are, you know, good defenders. We will say good defender for Reddish because he's so far shown it. And I still think Hayes is a good defender. Just he's just been wild. Just trying to
make has flash
Max plus is, defense. Yeah, Max is flash plus defense. We know Austin is a good defender.
Yeah.
Potentially very good defender. And Rui has shown that he's a good defender as well. So you have defense. You have two guys that you just paid money to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let them be the scoring guys, and the other guys can be the ancillary stuff, you know?
And even if you don't like just Austin as the only starter, you just swap out Reddish for LeBron.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. I mean, like, if Austin has such a good chemistry with AD, I bet you could quickly get that with
Jackson
as well. So
yeah,
that's where I think I am. I think that we could end up seeing some consolidation December, mm-hmm. January trade deadline time. Because even though it's crazy, 12 guys have played this year. The 11th and 12th are the maxes, Lewis mm-hmm. and Christie, and they've played like a minute a game.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's been 10 guys, and I think honestly, some of those guys need minutes taken away, or just consolidating guys into one slightly better guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is I'm already at the point where we were when the Lakers won back in 2020, which I thought the team could be that team, mm-hmm. and they had too many guys, and they needed to consolidate, and they kind of did.
They did by essentially because Avery Bradley was being a bounce, but yeah.
Oh, I'm totally fine with that. Avery Bradley isn't.
No, I know, but I'm like, I'm just saying, like,
and then, but then they got
out of the equation. And they got so, and they got, played more.
But then also Markieff came in.
Keith, yeah.
It things got better.
Yes.
So
yes.
I think that is where I'm at. I think you have a guy. Oh God, is Gabe my Avery Bradley?
No, Gabe isn't that bad. No way. And it's only been two games with Gabe, and Gabe also doesn't have off the court
stuff. Yeah, this is true. But I think more where I was comparing that to in my own head was Avery Bradley got way too many minutes.
Oh, he started. KCP was coming off the bench. People forget that.
I know. Yeah, Avery Bradley was Frank's, like,
guy. Dude. Yeah. I'm surprised he isn't on the Suns, to be completely honest.
Yeah, I mean, and then he left, and then he even came back. God.
No, remember when the Lakers had a lineup of, like, Rondo, Russell Westbrook, and Isaiah Thomas on the court together? Remember
Oh,
that?
My God.
That actually happened. That was real. That really happened.
Oh, man, Rondo was still on the team when they first traded for Russ?
They got him back, I think. I think because he left the team after the championship year. Right? Yeah, and then he came back. Let me look at Rondo real fast.
I don't even. Man, that would.
Maybe it's not Rondo. Maybe I'm thinking of like Darren Collison or something instead. Because remember, he did have that stint. Yeah.
They did. Man, do you remember NBA or Lakers Twitter like just doing everything they could for that cult member?
Man, yeah. So yeah, he was on. He was 19-20, and then he left and went to Atlanta, then the Clippers. Yep,
he got like 2-18.
And then I think he signed back with the Lakers that next offseason. And then the Lakers cut him, I think. And then he went with Cleveland. Or they traded him to Cleveland or something.
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember.
That whole year, they had Isaiah Thomas, they had Darren Collison, they had Russell Westbrook, they had Rajon Rondo 2 years after the championship year. Austin Reeves was there somewhere.
All of those watch dudes. All right. Crazy, I think that's it, because it's just going to essentially be me shitting on Darvin and being mad.
Let's talk D'Lo, and then we can go. We haven't touched on D'Lo specifically.
Yeah, not a ton. Other than I'll let you start. Other than I will say that I'm not worried about D'Lo's shot. That'll come.
At least not regular season shooting. Maybe you can worry a little bit about shooting in playoffs, but he's a career Let me see if I can find this, because I'm pretty sure he's like a 36%+ 3-point shooter in his career. Yes. And that's including his first couple years in the Lakers.
I think it's 37, pretty sure.
But yeah, the shooting's gonna be fine. Awful. Yeah, it's like shutting down for me for whatever reason. I keep looking it up on my computer and it's like taking forever to load. Still, he is a career very good 3-point shooter in the regular season. Mm-hmm. So he's a career 36.2% 3-point shooter.
Okay.
So like it's gonna come. The main thing for me has been his activity defensively.
Yeah.
And he took that Derek White comment
to heart, man.
He really did. And that's like, I think more players need to like look at guys like a Derek White who, like, it sucks. I like so many guys on that Celtics team, and I hate that they're Celtics so much.
I know.
But like more players need to look at a Derek White and Alex Caruso. Like people like that too. Like it's not like they're born, like, especially Caruso. It wasn't like he was like this athletic freak who's spending everyone. He like got to that point just because of how smart he is defensively, mainly. And he's a good athlete, but still, like more players need to look at guys like that instead of to look at like a Kawhi Leonard or like a Giannis or a Mikal Bridges defensively. Like you're not going to be those guys because they're just insanely athletically gifted, you know.
Yeah,
Derek White isn't the best athlete in the world, but he's one of the smartest defenders in the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, him and Drew together is going to be a nightmare for defensively. Like, I think they're the most matched up well in the East to beat a team like the Bucks, mainly because they have White and Holiday. And Porzingis has been good so far, but like it's Porzingis. We'll wait until see if he injures anything.
He has been good. When he's out.
Yeah, we'll wait on his injury stuff, but man, it sucks that they have so many guys that like. But anyway, D'Lo taking that comment to heart is like very smart of him to, if it's not with the Lakers, to make sure his career is prolonged, you know, and learning how to be a not awful defender. That's the only thing he needs to be is a not awful defender. He can be a slightly below average defender, and I think he has another 10 years in the league. Just because of that.
Yeah, I think at this point in the season, he's been a slightly above average defender, not one-on-one, mm-hmm. but like the off ball stuff, he's been good. There's been a few times like when they lost like MPJ, but honestly, like that was everyone. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if he was necessarily the
they
primary
were just
guy
collapsing. They're yeah. collapsing on Jokic and I
Jokic and Jamal, yeah. And then MPJ is just out there. I'm just, yeah. So, no, I agree.
MPJ and KCP and, man, that starting five is so good. But, yeah, it's – I just don't understand. Like, I really don't know why D'Lo is such a controversial person outside of the snitching stuff. Like, what did he do? Like, he's not, like, a bad person, you know? Like, he's not out here doing a James Harden, you know? Like, he's not doing anything like that. He's been very respectful for the most part. Yeah, he was a cocky kid, but like he's also 19 when we drafted him, you know? Byron Scott was Byron Scott.
It all comes down to Byron
and then the snitching stuff.
The snitching, and then when he was dealt because of Magic.
And then Magic dumped on him immediately after the trade.
Oh, got that. Yeah. The Lakers did him no favors after that. He was pretty dang good along with, of all guys, Spencer Dinwiddie in Brooklyn. They took them to the playoffs.
Yeah,
and,
they
then,
were
and then, of course, then turning into the trading carousel of him going to
essentially a sign-in trade. It was essentially a Durant for Russell trade.
Yeah. And then, of course, he wasn't good in Golden State, but that was also when everyone was hurt.
Steph was hurt. Clay was
Steph
hurt.
Was hurt. Clay was hurt. Draymond wasn't very healthy either.
No.
You know, and then he got traded to Minnesota, where I thought he was pretty solid, but, you know, then, of course, he was shit-talking Gobert, which literally everyone should do. Literally everyone, including Gobert himself, should be shit-talking Gobert. So like then, but Tim Connelly couldn't have that. So
free ant.
Oh God, him in LA would be a wet dream.
I love him so much.
I do too.
But yeah,
even though he seems to have his own little moments of being not a great young man.
Yeah, yeah.
His comments out the window and everything, but it seems like he's trying to make up for it.
Yeah,
from what I've seen, but I haven't been on Twitter for a while, much. So
it's not like, again, it's not like he's being a Miles Bridges or a Kevin Porter Jr.
God, how is Miles Bridges still in the league? How is Charlotte not just
so? Booted? I think it's if I had to guess, it has to do with like a Players Association thing.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Cut his ass.
No, I understand, but like they probably
another severe domestic violence issue. Yeah, no, you're done.
I don't believe that they're just like, I don't know, maybe we won't come. I think there has to be some legal issue, like Players Association issue that they can't just outright cut him. There has to be something.
I don't think so.
Because twice. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw, it's a bit of a tangent, but I just want to really quickly. When Adam Silver was on Inside the NBA before the Laker game, Charles Barkley, of all people, mm-hmm. Charles Barkley asked Adam Silver why there's so many people being charged for domestic violence now. And Adam Silver said that, oh, well, I'm paraphrasing, but he essentially said, oh, yeah, but they're punished for it. Miles Bridges has spent 25 games. That's not a punishment.
No, I'm that's sorry. Not enough.
That's not a punishment. And then did he not sign a restricted free agency deal with the Hornets? Or would they say a minimum?
It was essentially his QO, I believe.
Oh, okay. So no, he's not. Oh, yeah, like of all people, Charles Barkley, he made a couple of good points on that. And I'm not a Charles Barkley guy at all.
No.
But like something needs to happen. Like I don't know where there's like an uptick of it.
Yep.
But anyway, going back to D'Lo on that. He's been fine. Offensively, he's been really good at driving at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a noticeable uptick in his ability to finish on the rim. I don't know if that's just me. It just seems like I don't know if he got really good at it. He had that nice little Euro step that he did too. I think it was in that fourth quarter. He just isn't making his threes that he normally makes. So
yeah, which when he does, it'll all look great.
Like I said, if he makes one or two more threes in each of those two games, you're looking at those stats a lot different, you know. So he'll be fine if, like, all I care about is the defense staying up. Because if the defense stays at average, then you can't really play him off the court, so to speak. So as long as that stays up, he's going to get his 16 to 22 points every night, you know?
Yeah.
No matter what. He like I said, he's been attacking the rim a lot more. He has that mid-range jumper. He is truly a three-level scorer for the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be fine. Like, they play the Kings tomorrow. Not a great defensive team. I'm expecting a lot of points, probably on both ends. But I think the Lakers defense has actually been really good, just in general, because they, like, outside of the Nuggets had like a 16-4 run at the end of that first quarter. They essentially beat them outside of that stretch. And then the defense was really good against the Suns, outside of like defensive rebounding in the first half.
Yeah.
So which is why I was always so like confused when people were saying that we're going to be so bad defensively now. It's the same team defensively for the most part.
Yeah.
And Anthony Davis' anchored defense is never going to be bad. It'll be at worst a good defense. And they flashed elite defense in the two games so far. So we'll see how it goes from here. But yeah, I think you said it before we got on. I'm not even sure we're really complaining a lot. Like, it's really just the rotation stuff, and there's a good chance that it just gets sorted out itself.
I agree.
There isn't a ton to really complain about just in general for this team, because there's too much talent, unless there's an injury, knock on wood, for the team not to win 45 plus games, in my opinion.
I 100% agree. I could see 50 easily.
Yep, I can too. Like there's a world I can see like a one seed from this team just because of the depth, and with like the Suns missing guys already. By the way, people, Beal and Booker are already missing time.
Yep.
We need to remember, and you know me, I was a massive Beal guy.
Mm-hmm.
When he signed that extension, and he proved that he was worth that extension to a certain point, but he has a lot of injury history.
Mm-hmm.
We talk a lot about AD or whatever, but Dame played less games. I think he played less games combined in his last two seasons than AD played last season, or something close to it, I think. Dame only played 22 games last season.
Did he really?
He played less than 25, I'm pretty sure. Or at the very least, it was less than 30. And yeah, maybe it was tanking or whatever, but he was out.
It felt like he was out a lot, or it was saying that he wasn't going to play a ton, but then he ended up playing a lot. So last year he played 58, and then 2 years ago he only played 29.
That's what I mean. He has some injury issues too. It's not just the Lakers, it's not just LeBron.
No, I know. All right. That'll be it. We'll be talking more this season. We'll have Alan on. We'll have Alan planned on being on, but he went to go see his nephew. I can't remember if he said it was a nephew or a niece. I can't remember.
Yeah, he said it was his cousin's baby.
Cousin's baby. So we'll find out from him very soon as well. So we'll have him on, of course. He's essentially our third host.
And Raj is essentially our fourth host.
And then we'll try and do more this year. We're a lot more excited about this team. It just comes down to time and everything. So, but yeah. All right. Let's hopefully have a great season, and thank you all.
All right.